Soll die was verstehen, ich will dir die Kie, besser wie ich will dir nachher da. Kann sein. You tell me when it's ready? Go?
Just launched,
okay, good morning. I think it was in Tavshim Mem Hei. This Shabbos Parshas B'Chukesai, the Rebbe spoke a very interesting sicha, which is going to be the basis of my shir here on Parshas B'Chukesai, the Teichecha, the more controversial sections of the Torah. We all know the Teichecha has all kinds of halachas. There's no aliyah. The person, when they read the Teichecha, they call up the Balkeda, not even calling up, he just makes the bracha and reads it quieter than usual. This is three times a year, in Parsha B'Chukesai, in Parsha Dvarim, and in Parsha Kisove. So of course the most obvious klutz kasha is, what is going on? Why would the Eibishter, who would say, Avarachamon, Avaz Merachim al Abonim, why would a father curse his children? And that's the general translation, the 49 klolos, or it's translated into English, curses in B'Chukesai, twice that for 98 in the Kisove, and then the few in Parshas Dvarim. So we understand this, Hechiach Techiach Hasamisecha, but even that, there's all kinds of halachas how that should be said, and should always be said. How many times we have the emphasis? Teres Chesed. Kol Teres the Kula Leinitna Elasa Shalom Be'elam. Shalom Teres Chesed Rachel Darkei Neyam Kol Nisivaseh Shalom. I mean, I can go on Psukim after Psukim. The Teres, the Eibishter's Teres Chesed. So what? How do you explain this? Both practically and of course also on a deeper level. It's a question I can assure you that you're going to face. People will ask this question. I've been asked this question many, many times by people who grew up in a Torah world and to people who did not. They say, you know, you start reading it, it sounds like this is the God you want to have a relationship with. And when you read some of these klolos, it's quite blood-curdling, if you wish. It's quite horrendous. So how do we even approach this? So some people avoid this altogether. They just said, we'll read the other parts in the Torah. Pashuk Deshim is very nice. V'haftarecha kamecha, that Chal Gadol B'Torah. A lot of psukim in Torah that are beautiful. But the fact of the matter is, you can't avoid this as part of Torah. Torah Semes and Torah Chesed. So being that B'Chukesai is often very close to Lag B'Omer, like this year, Lag B'Omer was Sunday, is Pashuk B'Chukesai. So there's a connection, actually. Alter Rebbe in Lekut HaTorah B'Chukesai talks about this, in about the klolos of the Teichecha, and he says that the klolos are really chsodim nistarim, chsodim nistarim, chsodim uchusim, sometimes a lashon. Tzemach Tzedek in Hagah there, Lekut HaTorah, says Ayin Moed Katan Daf Ches, the famous story in Moed Katan about Rashbi and his son Rabbi Lozer. And what's the story? Rashbi sent Rabbi Lozer Lemairiv to the Talmid Chacham in Mairiv in the West to go get a bracha from them. So he traveled there, and when he heard what they started saying to him, he was all shocked. They said to him things which sounded very much like the worst possible curses. Kembers comes back all disturbed, tells his father, you sent me for blessings. Instead, they said things that were the exact opposite. His father asked him, Rashbi asked him, Rabbi Lozer, what did they say? And he told him. So he said, no, everything they said, it's kol hana brachas ninu. Everything is brachas. And he interpreted each expression, you shall reap and not sow, that your children will live, you'll see your children live long. I mean, he gave a whole, for each section of what they said, he interpreted the tev. Okay, very nice. But here's the big question. Everyone asks, all the Mefarshim. And here you could appreciate also Chassidus in context of Nigla. All the Mefarshim asks, that's very fine. So what were they? So why did they have to say it cryptically? They could have just said, say the brachas. Someone comes to for a bracha, you know, tell them, give them a bracha. I mean, should we learn from this that when someone comes to you, you have to say it in words that are mamash the opposite and then interpret it? So generally, there's four explanations in this Gemara. Marsha, the Yankiv, the Inyon Yankiv, the Itziesev. I mean, they bring from Mefarshim. Mefarshim break it into four explanations. Explanation number one is they were to be mechadded to so-called challenge Rabbi Elazar. You should use his mind, like Tamidim say, a riddle, a chida, a riddle, in order to sharpen the mind of the Talmud. So they expected that he would assume that they're Talmid Chacham, they're Tzaddikim, they're going to say something positive. The fact they said it, this language was to be mechad his mind, sharpen him, challenge him. Second explanation is they wanted to give Rashbi, the father, the schus, to Megal the Bracha. So they didn't say it in Megal, it would be the one that was Megal. The third explanation is because Bechal HaBracha is more Chal, B'dover She'enu Mitzuya, like we say, Somi Dover Somi Min Ayin. To say a bracha begoli in front of a lot of people is, so you say it, you know, say it very privately. So here they didn't want it to be created in Ayin Hara and so on. And the fourth explanation is they know that every time you give a bracha to someone, there's always the kateger, there's always the prosecuting angels that will find a problem with this person. They'll be makatrik. So they decided to put it in Asius that the Makatrigim, the Malochim that may be Makatrig and challenge it, should not understand. And they say, because Malochim don't read thoughts, they only understand Dibur. So the Machshava of the Chachamim, they didn't know what they're thinking. The Asius they saw, so the Asius sounded appropriate curses, and Gendik, so that way they would leave him alone. It's an interesting answer.
Huh? So, isn't that kind of the same as the third?
No, the third one says that a bracha should not. Maybe it's connected, but it's the third one says that a bracha should be said in front of less than three people. So here it was more people, so they kept it that way. It could be connected, but okay. However, the Rebbe says, okay, but this still, it's nice explanations. There's still something missing. I mean, they could have still said it in a way, in a neutral way. To mechadidim, they have to dafka say it in a klolus. That are negative words. And even for the malachim that this, they could have also said in a way that if they're smart enough to find words, that the malachim wouldn't, the mekatrigim wouldn't be bothered by. So here's where the emek of the Tzemach Tzedek's Hagah. Tzemach Tzedek didn't just come to add the Hagah, Atzion to Meir Cotton, based on what the Alter Rebbe is saying. He was coming to explain that the Alter Rebbe's beard is the ultimate beard to explain why it was said in this way. So it's not just a maramokim. So what's the explanation? Why something would be said in Asis that amamish the hepech? So the concept of chsadim nestadim and chsadim chusim had to be explained. What does that mean exactly? So just use a few examples. Chassidus says that the deepest things, kol ha-gvei gvei l'mayla, gvei gvei b'yesa, nefa l'mata mata yesa. Question is why? Why can't something gavaya fall not so low? So in other words, dafka in the lowest things you find the highest giluim. One of the reasons for this is because the giluim are so powerful that the kalim of higher elimus, kalim the gedusha, are not big enough to contain it. So you need to have something that doesn't have a tzir. Like it says about we're going to read next week Parsha Bamidbar. So Alter Rebbe teaches Midbar, of course. Is a negative. Lo yoshev adam sham. It's not a place of civilization, a midbar. And yet, the Alter Rebbe teaches lo yoshev adam sham. It's lemaila mis yoshev adam. So it can go both ways. I say this a lot of times. Lovan lamata is mamash klipa, but lovan lemaila is levan elyon. Pare. Of course, we all know pare. Tanin hagadol shalosh klipas atmeis. And yet, we say in zehar is pariyim the kol neherim. So this, you'll see this in many, many in Yonim. Just to give a very strong example, the Tzemach Tzedek and Derech Mitzvah Secha, based on the Alter Rebbe's Ma'amarim, brings about the big Shaila How is it possible that before Matan Torah there was that the Ovis Yaakov married two sisters? After Matan Torah, it's Mamash Arayis. And he says there that the Arayis, which is such an Isur, the Arayis of Mamash, one of the biggest Isurim, to the point of Yarag Vayaver, that it's Shayish, Shayish, when you talk about Yichud, for example, Yichud Abavim or Yichud Zoh Malchus, Yichud Ach Vaches, in Atzilus, is the highest Yichudim. That the highest Yichudim, when they come down the Mata, they can fall in a very dark place. So bottom line is this. To use a Pashut example, maybe, would be this. When you want to express yourself, so we know there's a few ways to express yourself. You say your words, you say your thoughts, and so on. You want to express a certain idea, you'll see that when it comes to, I don't want to say shtusim, but nonsense, we can talk and talk and talk. I mean, all you got to do is turn on a radio, or today on a radio, turn on any talk show, and you see meret and meret vegengarnished for hours. People talk about the weather, about politics, about all kinds of superficial things forever, ever. If someone asks you to talk about yourself, you know, what's going on inside your feelings, you'll find very few people talk about themselves. And l'cheir, it should be easier to talk about your inner feelings than about nonsense. Or let's say not nonsense, material things. When it comes to talking about, it's not because we're ashamed, it's because the intensity of what's going on emotionally inside you is too strong for regular kelim. You don't always find the issues for it. Someone will say to you, what is really bothering you? You'll see it's not that easy to always express. And even if you express it, it may also be just the surface. So Chassidus explains that when you want to express a deeper feeling, that's why issues are not enough. Sometimes you need a nigan. A nigan can express deeper than a drasha. The famous story with Alter Rebbe and Shklov, that with all the drasha and all the chachma and all the geinus, and still, when he sang a nigan, was it tamaru kitev avaye? Like the Rebbe said, put him tavshachai tamaru kitev avaye fazuchten zet as the Rebbe said is good. And with that, he drew hundreds and hundreds of people. What was in the tune? A nigan has something that words cannot have. We call it in English like language of metaphor. You can't always say it in straight words. So you say it in a moshel, you say it in levushim that are essentially expand the kelim so more ur can be expressed through it. Then even that may not be enough. Sometimes an oivei or a sigh or a laugh or a cry can be more powerful than an entire book. You see, a person's really a chmono l'slan and tsar, but also in simcha. Sometimes it's one expression. You say, how could one expression that comes from the tifnish of the heart be more powerful than an entire article you write? Because it's the kelim are smaller, and therefore the eiris are stronger. So in the language of Chassidus, it says b'chlal like this. In my modern Chassidus, I don't know if you've ever seen this, it's interesting that the speaks about the fact that you look at the human body, which part of the body is the smallest, but has most keichus in it? The head. The head is the smallest part of the body. This is Reish Guf Regel. The head is the smallest part, but look at the intensity of what's in the head. You have the brain, you have the eyes, you have the ears, you have the mouth, the face. Everything that really controls the body is in the head. As you go downward, as the body gets larger, you have less keichus. Taki, you have a lev, and you have lungs, and so on and so forth. The legs, which is like half the body, has the least amount of keichus hanefesh. They're all needed. So Chassidus asked the question, L'cheira, the place where there's the most keilim, the most giluyim, should be the most keilim. And says, no, it doesn't work that way. The bigger the eir, the less keilim there is. And the more keilim there is, the less eir. So in order to capture bigger eir, you can't have a keilim. Sometimes the expression is like, Tukva de gufa is chulsha de nishmasa, the Zayar says. And Tukva de nishmasa is chulsha de gufa. Does not mean, God forbid, that we compromise on the health of a person. That's not what we're talking about. But the point is, when do you need more kelim? Like you see, if you have talmidim who are beginners, you need to speak more, you need to explain more. Chachamim, or students that are Talmud Chodud, or Talmud that is Muvak, is someone you don't need that many words, because they get the Eir quicker. And that's why we go even deeper, that there are times that even an expression, even sound, is not enough. The Zohar asks the question, what's deeper? the Aveda of the Kehanim, which is B'chashoi, B'lachash, the Kehanim were quiet when they served in the Beis HaMikdash. Or the Levim that served with Shira, with Zimra. So most people would say Shira Zimra, Mehet Negunim, Zingtzach, and everything. The Zohar says no, because the Gresta Yiluim come in, like we say, killed Momadako. When Eliyahu Novi was waiting to see where Hashem is in Zgala, so first came the Rash, and then came the Ruach, and then came the Eish. And it was not the Ebrist, it was not there, but killed Momadako. So the smaller the Keli, the quieter it is, the more power it can have. So the point is, the Zohar says, for example, we gave it to Tkiya Shefer, that the three Kelis, so you always think that Tkiya seems to be the one that stretches longest, but the Shvarim, the Trua, the ones that are break down are actually more powerful, and then there's the Kol Delo Yishtama. And push it even Begashmi, so you see people when they're, I don't want to use negative, but negative you see it more, that they're so shocked about something they can't even cry. They can't even express themselves because it's so deep that mamish there's no keli for it altogether. While in atzmus can mechaber zayin bei dezach and sezam. Sof kol sof the kavani is that the keli is all amongst sevels. The Rebbe zogt eris merubim and keli merubim. But that's not lasid love. Heint is nicht das. The Rebbe Techas Sich in Pasha Vayigash in Tereya state Kel Chosin veKel Kala. Tafar Zain Kel Kala Ech. Okay, so the point of all this is that you see this paradox that the higher the Gilui, the higher the Gilui, the less Tziur it has. So this is one of the basis of when we explain that if you want to really be mamshech, a big hamshocha, all the four reasons I gave before from the Mefarshim, obviously they're all legitimate reasons. But the ultimate, why dafke in Hepech de Kaesius, is because there you have the deepest chsadim. So then how do you reconcile that with the Pshut HaShemikra? What do you mean? Im b'chu kesei telechu, so here's the schar, and if not, Rachmana Litzlan, here's the so-called the curses. You know, what I said now, the curses are also brachas. Like Rashbi said, they're all brachas. So the answer is, why does the Eibishter have a reason, Chaz V'Shalom, to curse or to in any way punish someone? So the Shalom speaks about Schar V'Einish, and most people translate Schar V'Einish, reward and punishment. And we immediately think, it's like, you know, when you're in school, you don't behave properly, they give you a punishment. So the Eibishter is Lav Derech Zeh. But let's be honest, the Eibishter created the human being. He created us with the Yetzer Hara, a Se'er Shebi'isa. He challenges us. He put the Adam Achav in Gan Eden and tells them, don't eat from Yetzer Das. Basically sets it all up. Not getting now even into Neira Alila B'nei Adam concept. And then the Eibishter knows we're going to, a Yetzer Hara is going to affect us. You know? And then what? And then he has a pleasure to punish us when we do something wrong. Obviously we have to be accountable and we have to be responsible. That's not the Shaila here. But what's you can't say it's like a principal in a school that's punishing you as a deterrent. So this is with Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe brings in the different sichas, the different reason when you say Yisurim Ba'ava, Kalbi Yisurim Ba'ava, the different reasons. So one of them is Chsodim Nistarim, because we understand that it's not that way, it's the exact opposite. Like he says in Agera Sekedesh, Rochet says B'nei, when this year a child falls and gets a splinter in their finger, and the parent goes, because they love the child so much, they have to cut out the splinter. If the parent didn't care, then the splinter would be there, and the child wouldn't be maybe in further pain from cutting it out. But the splinter would be there, and the pain would be bigger if you didn't do anything about it. Or you see somebody, God forbid, in surgery, and you say, one second, you're shedding blood. How can you cutting somebody open? But if you know the whole story, you know that the surgery is to save the person, not the opposite. So actually, love sometimes dictates that the only way to save the person, the only way to help them, is to do something that may look painful for the moment. But it's not coming for that reason. When you look at Torah and mitzvahs, estam laws, you could say, so you'd say a person broke the law. What do you want from him? Have rachmonos and gave aitin. But if you look at mitzvahs, like from the word tzavse v'chibur, that a mitzvah connects you to Hashem, It connects you to your purpose. When a person doesn't do a mitzvah, or Chas v'Shalom doesn't aveda, you're damaging yourself. Don't. This is what the Shalom says. Aschar v'enish is siba mesubav. Would anyone say, for example, if you put your hand in fire, the fire is punishing you by burning you? You'd never say that. On the contrary, the fire is warning you, don't touch me because you're going to get burnt. When you feel physical pain, we all don't like pain. And people take painkillers to avoid pain. But what is pain at the end of the day? It's actually a gift. It's a gift, a warning signal that you should do something. If Chas v'Shalom, a nerve is severed, or we don't feel pain, if you do not feel the pain when you bite your tongue, Chas v'Shalom, what could happen? You could end up hurting yourself very deeply. So nobody likes pain. But nobody who understands what pain is will say pain is a bad thing. Pain is a warning. It's like telling you the burglar alarm goes off, the red light is on, go do something. So before the problem gets too big, go do something about it. Now, obviously, there are short-term pains, like things you could take, a painkiller, an aspirin, an Advil, or whatever it may be. But something deeper needs to be addressed. So the Eibush is saying, I'm giving you a blueprint called the Torah. This is a blueprint for life. Chayenu ve'erech yemenu. Friedrich Rebbe has a beautiful moshel in one of the Maimonim, I think in Sadi Ches, if I recall correctly. It's a rare moshel, you don't see in other Maimonim, where divers who go underwater, you know, there's two types of divers. There's scuba divers. They go with like an oxygen pack on their back. And there are divers that go with a pipe connected to the ship below. And they can walk on the bed of a water or whatever body of water. And they're connected by a pipe that goes all the way up. That's an oxygen pipe. It's not a tank on their back where they swim. They walk on the ground. You see this in... So the Friedrich Rebbe brings this muscle. He says, what would happen to the diver if Chas v'Shalom, this pipe, was severed? So it's life and death. So the Friedrich Rebbe brings this as a muscle that mitzvahs are like these chutim, like these wires, if you wish, and that we have taryag. So thank God it's not just one. And every time, God forbid, if somebody is ever an aveda or doesn't do a mitzvah, one of these oxygen lines gets blocked. So that's how Torah mitzvahs is not just a matter of the Eibushter wants us to do mitzvahs. It's the best way you can live your life. So if you know that living a life a certain way is the best thing for you, for your children, for your family, and then you see someone, you see your child putting their hand in fire or about to cross the street, and you yell at them, or you schlep them, or sometimes you have to deter them by showing them, disciplining them, that discipline is coming from profound love. The more you love them, the more you want to protect them. The Zohar says about kashrus, asks the question, if kashrus is so important for the health of a person, why are goyim not responsible to be kosher? If kosher food is, you know, I mean, today a lot of goyim like kosher because they think it's, healthier. Little do they know. But, kosher food doesn't mean it's always healthier. But officially, as the Erachaim, as the Mefarshim say, Ramban, that when you eat, the animals that are treif are generally predators, aggressive animals, and we assume what we consume, you are what you eat, so to speak. So they say, tchunas of the chaya become part of you. So that's why the animals that are kosher, which is always in the world of animals, not semeach or daimon, are the ones that are more docile, more domestic, and so on. That's bedera klal. Those are the simonim, afresas parsa, and maligata. But so the Zohar asks, so why isn't everybody mechuyev and kashrus? And the Zohar says, because, interesting answer, that the human race is like different parts of the body. The klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael is like the lev haguf. Other umas ha'olam are different parts of the body. The lev is the most sensitive part. And that's why what enters the lev has to be the purest. Because the lev is very, very sensitive. The more sensitive it is, for example, the blood has to go through a lot of cleansing. If it's, God forbid, gets polluted. So if it's polluted, and let's say you bleed a little on your finger, no. But if it gets polluted there, it can cause a lot of damage. So the more edel something is, the more care has to be taken. It's similar to the concept why Gufei Umisaelim are not Metame and Gufei Yisrael are Metame. Wherever there's a lot of Gedusha, there's also a collection of possible, a lot of Tumah, the Hepech. So going back to our theme here, what the point is that when you look at Torah Mitzvahs, that it's not just laws and mitzvahs as in commandments, but connections. And Aveda from the word Havada Mereshus L'Reshus. To use more, if you want, modern psychological terms, that a mitzvah is aligning yourself to the purpose of life. And Aveda is displacement or dissonance. Disconnects you. So then, when it says in the Torah, Schara Nein, it's not talking about some reward, like Ba'efen Zguli, that you happen to do a mitzvah, I'll give you a candy. You do a mitzvah, I'll give you Elam Haba. No, it's Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, as the Alter Rebbe says. The mitzvah itself is the Schar, because by doing it, you become a healthier person. A person gives Zdokah. So B'chlal Deitai, Zdokah seems like the right thing to do. The Eberster blessed you, so you give, you share with someone else. But there's another deeper meaning. Zdokah is good for you too, because you have Chesed Sheba Nefesh, and you, just like you have to exercise your muscles, you have to also exercise the spiritual muscles. And one of them is called Chesed. So when you do Chesed, you're actually feeding and nourishing the Chesed Sheba Nefesh. Same thing with Gvura, same thing with Tiferes. So in other words, when you think of it from then, this is what Chassidus explains, then the whole Torah Mitzvahs becomes really the best way you can be the best possible person, the healthiest person, Begashmis and Beruchnis. It's one of the themes that, I don't know how much, it's not so emphasized, but I want to just drive the point home. The Rebbe is very strong on this. But like, for example, you don't see by the other Rabbeim the answer, B'dikas Tefillin Mezuzas. I mean, you may find it, I don't think I've ever seen it from the other Rabbeim, maybe once or twice. But the Rebbe, how many times do you say, B'dikas Tefillin Mezuzas? About what? Gashmi's Dika things. Something's not going right, so you should look at Tefillin Mezuzas. And so some people have said, Inyan Zguli? No, because the Rebbe was showing us that Torah Mitzvahs is not some disconnected thing. That even if you have to go to a doctor, because the Eberster wants, I'm a Zolgain, but you have to make a Keli. But you have to always know that it's really Torah Mitzvahs, the Ruchnias, that makes a person healthier. And by the Rebbe, a more ruchnistic person is a more healthier person, Begashmias too. I say the Rebbe. I mean, the Rebbe explaining Torah and Chassidus this way. So when you think of it that way, the Parsha B'chakesai is telling us two things. Here's what the things are when you do a mitzvah. Here are the benefits that you'll have. And if you don't, Chaz V'Shalom, it's not a punishment. It's cause and effect. Siba Mesubav. You'll evolve Siba Mesubav. Cause and effect. It's like putting your hand in fire. The Eberster is actually blessing us by telling us, here are the consequences. If you eat the wrong, for example, if a doctor told you, you eat these wrong foods, it's going to poison you. You're going to say that's a curse? No, it's actually a blessing. It says in the Pasuk, Re'a Nechi Nesun Lefnechem Es Hayem Es Abroche, and then it says the opposite. So the question is asked, Nesun Kol HaNesun B'Ayin Yofer Nesun. So Nechi Nesun Lefnechem should be a matana. So the matana Abroche Fashtetzach. What's the matana Nesun Hepech Abroche? So the Rebbe explains, because when you're traveling down a path, and you don't know which way to go, to the right and to the left. And the one way you know is for sure sakona, and the other way is for sure the right, but you don't know which one. So if someone tells you which way not to go, it's just as much a bracha than if they tell you what path to go on. Many times we know what path to go on, but we don't know how to be careful from a different path. So both are brachas when you see it that way. So going back now to the initial question, the initial question of brachas and teichacha, what the Alter Rebbe is saying, l'kut teira, and what explains the story with Rashbi and Rabbi Lozer, is that dafka, the biggest brachas are melubish and aces that are opposite. The Rebbe added one more point that's a very interesting point. He said that it could be that the Talmid Chacham saw in the future that Rabbi Lozer would have to go through challenges in life. So they could have given him brachas, and that's that. But they wanted him to also know how to have the strength to deal with these challenges. So therefore, they were malbish their brachas and aces that would also address those challenges. So now he had the koyach to, you know, it's like someone says to you, this is going to happen to you, but if you really interpret it right, you can turn it into a challenge, into an opportunity. It's essentially what the Rebbe said. So therefore, that also comes to add a whole other dimension, why they have to put it in those aces. You could say, it's maybe we were thinking then, when by Chazara, maybe the Rebbe was being betavich with the last of the Nigladike explanations, that the Mekatrigim should think that the negative things are said. But regardless, the point being, So I'll share a story or two that captures that. I remember my father was ended up in the hospital, Chamon Zaslan, Lei Aleinu, then. It was Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Tav Shinun. And he had a stroke, a mini stroke. And Erev Yom Kippur, I was called by Rabbi Groner, the Rebbe, I should come down, the Rebbe wants to see me. The Rebbe was not giving out lekach then, he only gave a few yechidim, but he gave me two pieces of honey cake, and said to me, this is for your father. And then he said, with a smile, the Rebbe said, Zogem, as b'shas et endikin zayn shlichus, v'ut mitem gishik, that menem fundot nareis lozom. That's what the Rebbe said. When he finishes the shlichus, where he was sent, which was the hospital, he'll be released. So my father was then at NYU, and I was Erev Yom Kippur. I went right over to the hospital with the cake. I told my father exactly what the Rebbe said. My mother started running around doing miftzayim. My father called her back and said, "This my shlichus. You're just visiting me here. You know, I'm the one stuck here." And my father did what he did. He spoke to the doctor. I'm not sure exactly what he did. But the bottom line is, to just continue, Rabbi Chadakov, after Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, came to visit my father. And he said, and he was already not so young, Rabbi Chadakov, but he came. He said, the Rebbe said to him to ask my father whether he finished his shlichus yet. In other words, it wasn't just a nice line the Rebbe told me, the Rebbe really was serious about. And, my father was released a little while later, so obviously he finished his shlichus. What do you read in this story? It's an amazing story, if you think about it. Most people, who goes to a hospital, you don't go to a hospital for shlichus unless you're going on mitzvah. You know, if you end up in a hospital, it's because you don't want to be there. Because of a health situation, or the doctor says you must go, an emergency, whatever it is. And here the Rebbe looks at it, no. The Eibishter needed you to be there. He couldn't get you any other way to the hospital, so he created, God forbid, a situation where you have to end up being there. Similar story, not similar, but Al-Derechzeh. In Tavshin Lamed Tes, there was a midwinter Neshei B'nei Chabad convention in Detroit. Okay. So the women went, it was the middle of the week. And they were coming back for Shabbos. Thursday is a big snowstorm in Detroit. Or New York, I'm not sure where it was. And their plane was grounded. They couldn't fly. So they wrote, Mrs. Sverdlov, Miriam Sverdlov wrote a letter to the Rebbe, saying, asking for a bracha, we're stuck in the airport in Detroit, and we'd like to come home to our husbands and families for Shabbos, and we're asking for a bracha. So the Rebbe wrote back a whole answer. I'll say it from memory. This is more or less the teich. He circled the word stuck. And he wrote, Hare Bavadi, you do it. For sure you know. And I'm sure you even said this in your drushes during the convention. The concept of Hashgacha Pratis. That everything is by the Eibishter. And it's surprising to me that you're missing and applying this very lesson to yourselves. You say it to other people, what about you? And what better thing than Sheleg min HaShamayim? That's a simen min HaShamayim. Sheleg comes from heaven. So you're getting a message from heaven that you did not finish your shlichus there yet. So the Eibishter wants you to stay longer. So you should you continue working in the airport, or maybe going back from the way to the airport, or back in the city. And when you'll finish your shlichus there, then you'll be able to come back. That was more or less the teichen of the answer. And that's what Taka happened. They stayed. I think they came back after Sunday, or whatever it may be. So here you see, of course, our Rebbe sees with eyes that we don't always see. By us, the snow is just a nuisance. Can't travel. That everything, at the end of the day, has a deeper bracha in it. Why the Eibishter has to be malbush in that? As I said before, it could be the chsadim, the studim. It could be also because we have to go through something that's a challenge. And that's a way of being the tikkun of the challenge. The Rebbe writes in many letters, but one just comes to mind. It's a very sharp letter. I mean, sharp. It's a very powerful letter, I should say. It unfortunately deals with one of the challenges of our time. Someone who considers themselves gay writes to the Rebbe And the Rebbe has a 3-page letter in English. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's around. And the Rebbe responds to him that even if the Eibishter created you with certain tendencies and a natural inclination, you still have Bechira. And why would the Eibishter put such challenges in front of you? Because he wanted to bring out deeper keichas from you, and the only way to bring those keichas out is to give you this challenge. It's a very, I think, quite a revolutionary approach. It's not just Einim Avakash al-Lifi Keicha. That he gave you a challenge in this area. The Rebbe doesn't say it's not a challenge. The Rebbe doesn't even say it's not the natural inclination. The Torah obviously asks it. So it means you have choice. But why give someone such an assignment? Because the Nisayon itself is meant to draw out from you those deeper keichas. So this is a common theme. They assign many, many letters and answers from the Rebbe. This is not justifying, I want to make it clear, this is not justifying tragedies, holocausts, deaths, and so on. We don't answer those questions. That's shtei kacholav machshava, we don't understand, because God could have done it a different way. We're talking about after the fact. Once it's happened, so this is not like saying, oh, that was something bad, to point fingers and say, because you did an Aveda, now you're going to be cursed. That's not, you know, that's not how we speak, and that's not the apitata. It's saying, once it happens, we have to understand it as consequences, as cause and effect, and look inside our hearts. And definitely not to accuse anybody. This is not a license to blame people for their Avedas. Rambam says in Hilchos Tainis in the beginning, he says, when a tragedy or catastrophe happens, says that you have to, it's a time, it's not to say mikra nikris, would be achzarius. Everybody, yafashbers b'maisav. So people misinterpret. They think, oh, when something negative happens, let's find the culprit and point fingers and say, who's at fault? And I'm saying, you have to look in your heart and soul. Since you saw it happen, what's the lesson for you? It doesn't say, go start finding a person to blame. That's not a Torah approach. So the point being is that, going back to the Etzem Inyan, when you look at it that way, there are really no curses. They're really brachas. That doesn't mean they're not negative. It doesn't mean that it may take on negative form. And we dafka pray, there should be teva nirav anigla. We don't ask the Eibishter for chsadim nistarim. We want it begoli. We want the nista to come out begoli. But the fact of the matter is, we have to also understand life has times when things are behelim and things are in kalim that we cannot see. Begoli, the bracha, and that's the deepest brachas of all. Now, people ask about Gimel Tammuz. Okay. I once gave a talk about this topic, and someone said, what about Gimel Tammuz? Is that a bracha or a klola? You know, I don't know if I'd use any of those words. To me, it's more of a mystery than anything. But the fact of the matter is, obviously, nobody wanted Gimel Tammuz. Nobody expected it. It's not something we celebrate exactly. However, after the fact, what would the Rebbe tell us? Tell us the same thing, what happened, Yutshvat Tovshin Yud. What does the Rebbe say at the end of the Maim, Rebosh Lagani Tovshin Yud Aleph? We didn't ask for this, we didn't want this. Who needed the Istalkus of the Friedrich Rebbe? The Rebbe says, Mamas Dozesis, Aber, this is what was given to us. In other words, there's a certain element that you don't have control certain things. We don't control what happened on Gimel Tammuz. That was the Eberster's Ratzin, which may remain a mystery forever, who knows? Maybe one day we'll understand. So we can look at it to sit now and lament and cry, oy, Gimel Tammuz, 30 years. Or we could say, maybe that gives us even more keiches to bring out our Aveda, like the Rebbe said, tut alz v'sid kent. And unfortunately, it was fulfilled in the way that we didn't like, where the Rebbe's begashmi is not with us. But he still said, tut alz v'sid kent, and 11 months later had a stroke from Chof Ches Nissen to Chof Zayin Adar. And then came Gimel Tammuz, two years and some months later. So a chassid who understands the Rebbe's approach says, it's taka difficult, but you have to, like a soldier in an army, you can't resign yourself, you can't surrender, you can't quit. You pick yourself up and you say, this time, that means we have to do even more to bring the Rebbe's message and the Rebbe's presence and the Rebbe's keiches to people. Of course it would be easier if the Rebbe was doing it all. And for bringing Shabbos, and leading Simchas Torah and Akofis and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Michlal, the whole year round. But as the Rebbe says, sometimes you need to have Aveda B'Keyach Atzmei, the famous Sikha of Bikishakav Ligalis Esaketz. The Rebbe says the biggest Aveda is that you don't have any Begili, any Keyachas Mumaila, And that makes you shaymet, cheshanet rabbe mem dalet. What did Rebbe say? There's no reason for gold. The only reason, with tears, the Rebbe is saying this. Mamish b'chias. The Rebbe is saying, the only reason, efsher, if there was any reason, a mile in Golas, you'd see there's a mile in it. So I'm not saying that is Gimel Tam, but it's the same idea. So in the so-called Klola, in the negative, in the Helim, is a tremendous Gili. Just like the Magid, the same Sikha, the Rebbe, Tu Bishvat Lamates. You all know the Sikha there as well. One of those very strong Sikhas. The Tate Bahalzach, the Magid's Moshel. The father hides from his child in order to elicit the ingenuity of the child to find the father. That's the kavon of the helam. Simtzum b'shvil agili. But the father hid himself so well that the child can't find the father. How does the Rebbe say that? Zunti gezucht, monti gezucht, dinsti gezucht. Was will man from them kind? What do you want from the child? The Eibishter hid himself so well. So the child gives up. So the helam is not a klala, the helam is a bracha, b'chsadim nistarim. It's in the surah of a helam, but the goal is to bring out even deeper keichas. But if it's misunderstood, or it's misused, then it could turn into a helam shein kamayu, a cheshir kafel mechupul, and all the negative things that come from that. So even the helam, the chassidus explains, helam is b'shvil agili, there's no such thing. It says tzimtzum is heipach harotzen. That's what it says. Tzimtzum Arishin. The Ebershter made the Tzimtzum. It's Hepech HaRotzen. Because the Rotzen is not the Tzimtzum. The Rotzen is the Goli. It's Tzimtzum B'Shvil HaGili. So basically, when you look at then for every Helam, including the Klal, the Teichacha, it's really, end up being really deeper brachas. However, we pray at the same time, as I said, that it should be B'Goli. It shouldn't remain there. The Helam is, at the end of the day, the child should look for his father and find him, and it should come out b'teva nira v'anigla. That's why the Asad Lave is not just tam nachas ruach nivra. The Eibishter gives us Mashiach. It's also for the Eibishter, like the Rebbe explains in the famous Vayigash Sikh in Chelik Hei, that the Giluim is negei in Atzmus. That even Atzmus needs to be begoli, kavyochu. Because it's not Shlemus Atzmus when it's not begoli, if it remains behelam. Which explains why Gula Mashiach is not just for us, it's also for the Eibishter, so to speak. That Gili is, but Gili ha'etzem, Nisavakosh Baruch, Eliyaslay is Baruch, Dira b'tachtenim, he wants it in tachtenim. Tachtenim is mamish the hepech of Gilui. What's the Alter Rebbe saying, Perek Lamed Vav, tachtenim, b'gili ein sof, that helam acher helam, tachten shein tachten lamatim imen. And to the extent that it's cheshel kofel mechupel, molly klippers v'sitra achre, and Hashem gevrim bei, the point that Aniva Afsiyed, all this is essentially clawless. And Kol Yem, as the Gemara in Seita says, can be worse than the day before. But the Kavon of Tachtenim should be in there, should be Dafka Dira La'atzmusa is Dafka in Tachtenim. Yesh HaNivra is Dafka the place where the Yesh HaMiti gets revealed. Not in the Eres and Giluim Lamaila. So you have here the central theme of how to look at even negative experiences, including the Teichacha and so on, in a positive way. Which, of course, conclude with the powerful story. The Alter Rebbe used to read the Torah every week. One week he wasn't there, Pasha Kisove, the Mitla Rebbe, middle of Kriyas HaTorah, they reached the Teichacha, and he's hearing the Psukim, he faints. Scholar says he faints. They revive him, they say, "What do you faint?" He said, "You hear what we just read?" They said, "But you read it every year. Every year in the Teichacha. What's mitam all now?" She said, "When the Tata leint, heruch nor brachas." What does it mean? What does that mean? His father, the Alter Rebbe, when he read the Torah, the psukim were different. No, obviously not. Because the Alter Rebbe read it in a way that he could see, like the Rashbi, interpreting the same psukim that most of us would read, but Chetzenius can sound so negative. He read it, in the tune, or those that were margish felt that it was brachas. And it's after the Rebbe brings, Avinu, my tate, Avinu, avarachaman. He's megala, even in the darkness, he megala the pnimis. So what it means practically for us, first of all, the Eibishter should protect everybody from all challenges and from all difficulties, especially now in Eretz Yisrael and everywhere. But if, God forbid, something happens that doesn't seem positive, we have chassidus teaches us how to look at it And not just philosophically, also practically, how to find deeper keches. That's the end of the thing. I always tell people who differ with difficult situations, I say, I don't know if you're looking for answers, you're looking for strength. That's what you're looking for. Answers is very hard. The Rebbe says many times, we don't have an answer why bad things happen to good people. There's no answer for that. But what to do about it, and that you have the strength to do something about it, absolutely. So the Rebbe should bless everyone, especially again, that's Yisrael, protect the end to the war, freedom of the hostages, and Eden everywhere should be healthy, and gezund b'teva nirav anigla. We should march to the Geula as we go into Ramat Teira the next few weeks.